KLOS and KLOS HD1, Los Angeles. Now, KLOS interrupts regular programming to bring you something completely
not the same, not the same, not the same.
The priest of unpredictable, the lord of La Cienega, Steve Jones presents Jonesy's Jukebox.
Hello, this is Jonesy from Jonesy's Jukebox, Steve Jones. And Mr. Shovel is here too.
Hey, Steve, good to see you. Good to be here with you.
This is actually happening. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
I've been dreaming about this all night. I kept waking up a million times wondering what's going on. I'd wake up in fright and I'd wake up in joy. And then... And here we are. It's actually happening. We're on the air right now. I can't believe it.
How do you feel now?
Well, you know, I haven't done this in a while, so I'm a little rusty, but I'm sure I'll get through it really quick. How do you feel?
Oh, good.
Well, you ain't got to do nothing.
No. I have the easy part. You got to be a genius. I just get to do nothing.
But Bob Coben is still here.
Hello. It's great to have you here.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you. Now, have you got, like, from Rockline, are you an album guy? Do you save albums, or are you done with all that?
Oh no, I got plenty of vinyl at home. Yeah, I've carried it around for decades from city to city.
And CDs, or you don't bother with
them? No, I got plenty of CDs too, and MP3s. My iPod's got probably 45,000 songs on it.
Yeah.
I'm one of those kind of guys.
Yeah. I had thousands of CDs, and I sold them all at Amoeba.
Yeah, Amoeba will snatch them up like that.
Yeah, I figured I'd get rid of them when they were worth a couple more bucks than they're probably worth now. Are they still worth money, CDs?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Especially certain CDs. Certain rare CDs are worth a lot.
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
And vinyl, that's...
Again, if you have an original album still in shrink wrap from back in the day that was a great album, it's worth a lot of money now, of course, depending on the album.
Yeah. The Sex Pistols original A&M version of God Save the Queen goes for about anywhere from £10,000 to £15,000.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Because there was only a few of them. They only about 200 of them got out, and we were only on A&M for like a week. So if you got any of them, I wish I'd have. I sold everything back in the day. I don't have one thing from back then.
Well, I had this silly rule that if I had an album and it was still in shrink wrap after 3 years, I would throw it away or give it away. Yeah. Now I look back and go, what an idiot. Now I'd have these clean pieces of vinyl that'd be worth a fortune.
Yeah. When you was a teenager, when you was like 14, 15, who was your band? I mean, I got my bands, but who was like your bands, your idols, if you like, that you would go and see everywhere, and they like your bands?
Rolling Stones from the very beginning. My first album got given to me was by the Serendipity Singers. I took it back to the record store and got the Rolling Stones, England's newest hit makers, instead. And my big band when I was growing up was the Yardbirds.
Yardbirds.
I love the Yardbirds.
Yeah.
Way ahead of their time.
Just them two anymore?
Plenty more, but how much time do we have, you know?
A couple of minutes.
Yeah. I grew up with really the new wave, well, not the new wave, the wave of English stuff that was coming over. The fascinating thing to me about the Brits is you took our American blues, our Delta blues, amplified it, gave it back to us, and made it rock and roll. It's a huge imprint on those of us here in the States.
We're a bunch of thieves, English people.
But you're so polite about it.
We say sorry afterwards.
Yeah, well, there you go. And we all love the accent.
I know you
suckers for the English accent.
Get away with murder with that accent.
Yeah, you can, absolutely.
You really can. I don't understand why all these TV shows, when they have American roles, talking like American, they always hire English people to do American role.
A lot of people don't realize there are a lot of English actors that do use an American accent to play roles over here. You're exactly right. Alan Cummings from The Good Wife, I believe, is Scottish.
There's loads. I'm American, doing an English accent.
Oh, I didn't realize that. You could have fooled me, because I thought you were back there in the UK preaching anarchy.
It's pretty good, right, my accent?
Oh, your accent's spot on.
I have been living here for 35 years, but, you know, I've actually lived longer in the States than I did in England.
Well, you know my daughter, fortunately not in a biblical sense, but you know my daughter because she works for your hairdresser. So.
Who's the hairdresser? Where does he work?
He works at, is this a plug coming on? I believe Fred Siegel in Santa Monica on 5th.
You just made someone happy.
I bet.
Who'd you consider, these are kind of stock questions, but I'm curious. Who would you consider are the best top four songwriters, as in pop and, you know, rock?
The best four ever? Well, two would count, I guess. You know, Lennon McCartney, I mean, you got to hand it to them.
Yeah.
You know, they got to be one. And then Jagger Richards.
Yeah.
You know, the Stones played it perfectly with the Beatles kind of being the scrubby, clean, good guys, and the Stones came in playing the bad guy role, and they did it oh so well.
Yeah. But it was all imaged. They're basically the same. I'm sure they got up to the same shenanigans. I think all bands are the same, to be honest with you, whether it's us, the Sex Pistols, or the Eagles, or whoever. They all do the same stuff. There's nothing different other than an image.
Well, most everything's 4/4 time and two or three chords, if even that. Some songs are just one chord, you know.
I mean, like personalities as well, though.
Yeah, I hear you there. But your band, the Sex Pistols, you guys grabbed hold of something that was not there before. There are a lot of great bands. Anybody can pick up a guitar and play. But you guys did something special because you caught a wave and a vibe there back in the UK. People that were dissatisfied with the regular band, so to speak.
Yeah, I'm a legend.
You are. In your own mind and in your own time, too.
And in my own supermarket.
You ever get lost in the supermarket?
Sometimes.
Running to Mick Jones?
That's a song there, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Well done, the class song.
Yeah.
Okay. You almost caught me then.
Almost.
Don't you think, like, that's always the obvious, Lennon and McCartney as the songwriters. And I'm not putting them down at all, but when you think of the early songs, they're just like, basically, silly little pop songs.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If you look at it for what it is, I think like really great songwriters are like Pete Townsend, Ray Davies.
I was just going to say, put Ray Davies in there. We say Davies, you say Davis.
Yeah, he's a great songwriter. And even Elton John and Bernie Taupin. As far as like well-structured songs and lyrically, I think they're just up there. It's so funny that everyone automatically goes to Lennon and McCartney.
Well, those are the two heavyweights.
Yeah.
You know, they're kind of at the top of the pyramid, really. But there's so many other great songwriters. And the other thing back in the day that you Brits did was take our blues tunes and rearrange them. I mean, you talk about
Led Zeppelin.
Page and Plant. Led Zeppelin comes to mind. Of course, they ripped off the blues artists.
You know,
they did Bring It On Home and said they wrote it in 1969. Well, I have it on an album from 1959 by Sonny Boy Williams, and so something's got to break there.
Yeah. He's dead, though, isn't he, Sonny Williams?
Yeah, but he wrote that many years before.
Yeah.
And Zepp ripped it off. But they paid those guys back. They had to. They had litigation that was filed against them.
Oh, they had to?
Yeah.
Not that they wanted to.
No, I'm sure they didn't want to, but they had to.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Oh, well. It's all water under a lot of bridges.
A lot of them guys got ripped off, though. Them old blues dudes.
Yeah, I agree.
Are you a blues fan?
Big blues fan.
I like, I'm not a big fan of a lot of it. It all sounds the same to me after a while. But I do like Freddie King.
Well, if you talk blues, you got to talk the Three Kings. B.B., Freddie, and Albert.
Yeah.
Anybody that's ever picked up a guitar and played the blues, you have to pay homage to those three guys.
Yeah.
Joe Bonamassa just did a tour and played only music by those guys.
Oh, yeah?
By the Three Kings, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So do you get lost after the 8th bar or the 12th bar?
It doesn't take long. It doesn't take long. I mean, I can appreciate them guys, them old dudes, and I can appreciate early country, like Hank Williams, Waylon Jennings, all them dudes. But anything new, to me, just sounds like McDonald's.
The new country to me is too shiny and too glossy. But those outlaw country guys, you know, now you're onto something there.
Yeah, no doubt.
Willie and Waylon.
Yeah. I'm going to go and see...
David Allan Coe.
Yeah. Well, he's out of order, he is. But, yeah. But I like Waylon Jennings. I just gone spaced out. Who was the one you said before that?
Waylon Jennings, Willie Nelson.
No, the other one.
David Allan Coe?
No, the other one.
Merle Haggard.
Merle Haggard. I didn't say him, but I'll cop to it if you want me to. Yeah, I mentioned
that. They're all the same.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go and see him in December at that little place on Wilshire there by La Cienega. You know, that looks like a cinema.
The El Rey.
No, is it the El Rey? No, it's the one right on La Cienega. No, it's right on Wiltshire, just east of La Cienega. It's a small version. Maybe it is the El Rey. No. It's not the El Rey.
El Rey holds about 2,000 people, I think.
Anyway, yeah. He's playing there in December, and we're going to go and see him with a couple of my buddies.
Good on you.
He's an honorary old sod.
Yeah, well, if you're not an Okie from Muskogee, he doesn't like you.
Yeah. I had Jerry Lee Lewis once when I did my old radio station. He came
on. The killer.
Oh, man. That was not good.
I never met a 13-year-old he didn't like.
I kind of tapped on, have you ever been back? How was it when you went to London with your 13-year-old wife? And he just turned on me.
Really?
It was horrible. It was great if you're listening, but I was like looking at him. When this was happening, he wasn't happy.
Oh, I've had those interviews, believe me. After 3,000 Rockline shows, I've had pretty much everything that could happen, I think.
Yeah. Should we play some music?
That'd be a good idea.
This is, I'm going to play New York Dolls, Personality Crisis. I believe this is in a new movie that's going to be on HBO called Vinyl, which is by produced by Mick Jagger and Scorsese. So I've been hearing it a lot, and I figured this would be a good song to get the box going. You'll listen to Kyle West, Jonesy's Jukebox. Take it away. So you're listening to Jonesy's Jukebox on KLOS. That was Thin Lizzy, a song called The Rocker. Bob Coburn's still here. What, you got any stories on Thin Lizzy?
Yeah, I love Thin Lizzy. Got to be good friends with Phil Lynott, who told me how to pronounce his name. Remember, I always tell the truth.
Lynott.
I lie not. No, he told me it's Lynott.
He don't know what he's talking about.
You know what? I think I'm going to stick with Lynott.
Lino.
Phil Lynott. Phil always truthful. No, it's Lynott. Phil, by the way, you've been mispronouncing your name for 30 years.
Yeah.
I miss him. That's the bottom line. I miss him. He's a really good guy.
Yeah, I was pals with him for a while. He actually he got a Gretsch White Falcon off me. He stole it off me, but that's okay. I stole a lot of guitar, so it kind of works itself out.
Well, you played guitar and bass. You played guitar and bass. He was a great bass player.
Very good
and
bass
band
player.
Leader, and another really killer songwriter. Scott Gorham told me the band tried to talk him out of that line, "I got chocolate stains on my pants dancing in the moonlight." He said, "Oh, yeah, watch this," and put it right in there.
Yeah.
I think it's a memorable line.
Personally. Yeah. Did you ever see the first phase with, was it not Graham Bell? What was his name, the guitar player? Man, they were a three piece. It was Phil, someone Bell, he was the guitar player, and we googling, and Downey on drums, who stayed
Brian,
with
Brian Downey.
Brian Downey. Yeah. Let's get the guitar player.
Scott Gorman.
No, the original one.
Yeah, it's Gorham, not Gorman. Yeah.
It's Lynott.
And it's actually Lynott instead of Lynott.
Scott Lynott. Pete Gorman. You got it there, Shovel.
No.
You're fired.
Here's some trivia for you. Scott Gorham married the sister of Bob Siebenberg from Supertramp.
Really?
Yeah, a small community, isn't it?
He's an avid golfer as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Is he still around, Scott?
Yeah, oh, sure, yeah.
I had a lot of fun with them guys, man.
Yeah, they're really good guys and one of the truly underrated bands in the history of rock and roll.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Would you say they... Eric Bell.
Eric Bell.
Thank
there
you.
You go.
Thank you. You're hired. You're fired. Look at that. He ain't even in the room when he come in.
That's Stu Herrera, our production guy.
There's a list of like 20 guys who play guitar for Thin Lizzy.
There were a bunch, yeah. People talk about Gary Moore playing guitar for him, but he only did the one album, Black Rose.
Yeah, that was kind of at the end of the road. That was when it was all going southbound.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon the pun.
Yes.
Remember they had a song?
Remember the song Southbound? Yeah. I'm on with it here.
That's a good album, that one. What album was that? Whatever.
That was earlier stuff.
But the original lineup was, what's his name, Andy? I've forgotten it.
Eric Bell.
The phones are ringing because people know Brian it's Dunn. Time for the ticket giveaway.
Yes, it's the contest.
We should do that.
Hardwood and Hard Rock, and we have more tickets for you right now for the L.A. Clippers against the Utah Jazz on November 25th at Staples Center, and Motley Crue, hence the Hardwood and Hard Rock at Honda Center, December 22nd. The L.A. Clippers are back. You can get your single game tickets today at clippers.com. Together we will. Caller 25 is going to win both these tickets here. Really cool stuff. 1-800-955-KLOS, 1-800-955-5567. Caller 25 will be your lucky day.
Thanks, Bob.
And our lucky day for everybody for Jonesy's Jukebox. I'm going to slide on out because I have tea. I have tea at 1:45.
You knock yourself out, mate.
Yeah.
Thanks for hanging out for a little bit.
My pleasure. Great to have you here.
Thank you, buddy. Bye. See you later. So, as like Thin Lizzy, they never really got mega state. There's some bands that just don't crack it in America from England. And I guess Lizzy was one of them. But then you get Iron Maiden, who are like absolutely massive. And I didn't even remember them when I was living in England. It's a weird thing what picks up. But here's another band that was really popular in England, but couldn't get arrested in America. It's Status Quo. And you're listening to Jonesy's Jukebox. You're listening to Jonesy's Jukebox on KLOS. That was Freddie King, Going Down. And before that was Status Quo. Roll Over. Lay Down. So there's two downs in there.
Don't look at me.
Magic. We have Billy Idol in the studio. Hello, Bill.
Yeah, how are you, Steve?
How are you, mate?
Very well.
You've been on the road?
Yeah.
Are you done now, or is this just like a little breather to you go somewhere else?
Yeah, it's a few months breather. It's about March or something next year.
And you're doing more of the States, or are you going somewhere?
I think it will be in the States, yeah.
You ain't played LA yet, have you?
Yeah, we did in February, the Wilton, two nights.
Oh, where was I? I never go out. I never go out to concerts. Do you? Other people's concerts?
Sometimes. Not as much as I used to.
Who was the last person you saw, you think?
Blimey,
you remember?
I can't remember. That's
Ackerbilk.
Yeah.
That was... So what... Status Quo, that was a band who never got any recognition. They never... Couldn't get arrested. Now, you said you...
We just played with them. The last couple of years, we've actually... played with them twice. It's fantastic. Great guys, great blokes, and I don't know, they're really enjoying it, you know. They're sort of enjoying the fact that they're still rocking and having a great time doing it, and that's the vibe you get too. So I don't know, us playing together was actually really great because we're both a bit like that.
Yeah,
sort
yeah.
Sort of enjoying what we're doing.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. And they've been pretty much the same lineup, right?
Exactly the same. They had the original bass player back too, and everything.
Yeah. where were they? This is in Europe. Or
yeah,
in
we were in Italy and Germany, I think.
Yeah, I used to love them as a kid, because it was just that straight ahead, kind of.
Yeah, I actually had pictures of Matchstick Men. I actually had the pre before they went boogie. I actually
the 60s.
Yeah, the pictures of Matchstick Men. Yeah.
When it was kind of psychedelic, yeah.
They got embarrassed about that and they went boogie after
that.
I actually bought that.
But actually, I think that was a hit.
It was massive. Yeah, it was
pictures
top 10.
Of Matchstick Men. It sounds like something you could write in your sleep, doesn't it?
It does a bit, yeah.
It's just the whole thing is diddle down, diddle 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 down, diddle down, diddle 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 down. Great. What was I going to say? So you've been touring. How's your book doing?
Yeah, it did really well. It's actually a New York Times bestseller.
Is it?
Yeah.
Now, did you write it yourself?
I did actually write it myself.
You sat at home and wrote on a piece of paper?
Well, I type two-finger typewriting. That's why it took me a long time to do it, because I couldn't type. I still can't type, but I...
You should be good on the piano by now, then.
Yeah, two fingers.
All that typing.
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah.
That's incredible, man. How did you have the patience? I'm in the middle. Well, not in the middle. I just started doing a book with a guy. I just can't imagine what it'd be like to... Literally.
It's a little bit weird, I've got to say. I mean, I found I had to kind of think of a time, you know, whatever time it was.
Yeah.
say it was the punk time, 1976, yeah. and you kind of stay in a certain few months in your mind for almost a month or so. So you're kind of marinating in that, the few months that you can, trying to remember, you know, that's what I was doing. And then I would come out of that and go into another segment and stay there for a bit and just let the thoughts marinate. And when they kind of seemed to coalesce in my mind, I went to the...
Yeah.
I'd wait till I feel the words kind of come together in my mind, and then I'd actually sit there and construct the sentence. Because I can look at a sentence and go, it doesn't look right.
Yeah.
You know, there's something about the way it looks. It doesn't, shaped isn't right. Yeah. Well, I would even sit there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's that crazy. So, but it made it good, and it was fun. It made you get into it. But, you know, it took a long time doing it that way. That was the only thing. But
did you do it in order as your life went on?
I jumped around because you just couldn't stay to, you know, sometimes you needed to jump around just to refresh, to go into a different few months, year. Or, but a lot of the times, you're just trying to stay in one place and trying to, through the fog.
Did you remember if you had to get facts from your pals and stuff?
Of course, I had to look at, I had to ask some people some things. And
Tony James, did you call him?
A little bit, yeah.
He's kind of on the ball.
Yeah, he really remembers Generation X. He could write a great book about Generation X, really. I mean, that's...
He remembers everything.
He remembers
everything. He didn't party a lot, did he? He was kind of a...
Yeah, but he also, Tony keeps everything, and he was always very managerial minded too.
Yes.
So he would be mentally an archivist. I was more like, I haven't got a thing. You know, I don't remember anything. Is I've got a few records, and that's it. They all got lost.
Yeah.
All the memorabilia or anything I had, I don't know. The times I moved, but he's got everything.
Yeah.
I mean, he even showed me, because I said I answered his advert in Melody Maker to. And he then showed me at Hammersmith this year, and Bill, look, here's the advert. It was your advert. I answered your advert. I went like, see, I don't remember anything.
Wow, yeah.
There's silly things like that. I didn't really remember. But, I remembered enough to put down what I've sort of felt about things. And
is there anything you felt like you've, after the fact, that you've left out? Oh, I should have put that in there.
Well, there's loads of things.
There always is, though, right?
Yeah.
With anything.
There's loads of things, especially when you read back through it now or... Because I just did an audio version of it.
The whole book?
Yeah, 12 hours. It took 5-6 hour things to do it.
How many 5-6 hours?
Yeah, five.
Oh, that was it? It was done?
Yeah, it took about 5-6 hours. It's about 12-something hours long, sort of.
And did you have, like, a guy behind the engineer saying, could you do that one again? It didn't really quite sound good.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And you
want
to kill him, right?
Yeah, you want to kill him, yeah. He was really good, though, and... it was actually really fun doing it, actually doing the actually reading it out and in your own voice.
Yeah,
I think I made it fun. I know there's a lot of fans who'd like that. They just would like it, and I can make it make more sense too.
Exactly.
That's when you read it, you can make it make more sense for people.
Yeah, that's what I want to do with mine, like, so it can be like a bedtime stories.
Yeah, we'll put them to sleep.
Put them to sleep after 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Bore them to death.
Bore them stiff, yeah.
What are we doing? We're playing some music?
Sure.
You're listening to Jonesy's Jukebox with my guest, Billy Idol, KLOS, and seeing that it's Halloween tomorrow, we're going to play a bit of Judas Priest. You're listening to Jonesy's Jukebox on KLOS with my guest, Billy Idol. That was Fu Manchu, a song called Written in Stone. And before that was Judas Priest. Hellion into Electric Eye. So what was we talking about? I can't remember now.
One thing, I was about my book and stuff.
Yeah.
One thing we did was just recently, all the songs I mentioned, we put them together on... BillyIdol.net, and it's basically, you can listen to the soundtrack. We did it through YouTube, and you can listen to the sort of soundtrack of all the songs I mentioned on the album. That was another thing we did recently, apart from just do the audiobook. You know?
Yeah. When talking about, you know, going back with your book and that, like, a lot of people don't know what the Bromley contingent was. That was... In 1975?
Yes, 5, 6.
Around there. And you and a bunch of other people lived in Bromley, which is just outside of London.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Southeast, yeah.
Yeah. And before that, before you got that name and you were like, how old was you then? 18, 19? 19. Yeah. So.
1920, yeah.
Who did you listen to when you were like, you know, 15, 16, before the whole punk thing started? And who was you listening to?
Well, I was a massive Beatle fan, so I love the Beatles and stuff. But I was listening to everything. I mean, when I think about us growing up, we grew up through all that time of the progressive rock. And, you know, I mean, I saw Black Sabbath 1 month before their first album came out. I was sitting right where Ozzy's tassels of his jacket were touching me. I was probably 13 or something, because I used to go to concerts. I had some friends who were a lot older than me, and I used to go to concerts with them. And
in London, or
well, this was Worthing, actually, with the South Coast. I lived in Worthing for a few years, and I saw all these Deep Purple. I saw all those sort of progressive, you know, Frank Zappa. Captain Beefheart, it's all everybody, you know, it's just fantastic. And then we really morphed into loving Bowie and Lou Reed.
The glam.
And yeah, the glam
avant-garde
rock and Velvet Underground and of course New York Dolls, I know you played.
Yeah, yeah. Did you have a long hair?
I did. Actually, in my book, it's really...
You got a picture?
Yeah, it's massively long hair. Yeah, down to my shoulders and everything. And then I used to wear the round glasses, like I had a bit of a John Lennon thing.
Yeah.
Of John Lennon.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. So then obviously, you know, I mean, was you into all that music?
Yeah, I mean, we were growing up with rock and roll, really, you know, right from the early days, kind of. We still had in England, there was still a touch of the old rock and roll from the 50s. In the early 60s, Gene
right.
Vincent was still around.
Right.
And Buddy Holly was still on the radio, because they were putting out Peggy Sue Got Married and things like that that were you know, it's just his demo that they'd put other people playing on top of. So there was even touches of old rock and roll, and then you have the Beatles and everybody, and I love the Animals and them and people like that. And then when I got in a group, we got to get out of this place,
yeah,
and stuff like that. So... So kind of when I first got in a group, a lot of the stuff from the early 60s, I used to do some of those songs. That was the kind of nearest I could think to get to nearer to punk.
So. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we really started to love the Velvet Underground, Lou Reed. I really started to love Lou Reed and go
yeah.
to all his concerts too when, you know, when yeah. he came to England, Transformer. Before that, actually on his first solo album, I loved all of that stuff. And of course, it was great when he worked with Bowie. It was just, there you go, the marriage
yeah.
was fantastic.
Yeah. That's one of my favourite albums, Transformer.
That's great.
With
yeah.
Mick Ronson playing guitar, and Bowie's on there a lot.
Yeah, I'd have to say, you know, Rock and Roll Animal, I know a lot of people sort of like didn't think that was right for Lou, but I actually watched that and thought, that's a great idea. You put a punk rock singer with an incredible guitarist, and in some ways, that's what I did with Steve Stevens. I kind of stole a bit of that idea in a way. You put someone who's, a punk rock singer with a really great
guitar. A guy who can play guitar, yeah.
A killer, and you kind of get this kind of combination of the two.
You did the right thing, I think.
Possibly.
You had a little bit of success there.
Yeah.
And a few hits. Are we let's play some, now what are we doing? Oh, we're gonna play some more music. Talking about who we were just talking about, we're gonna play. You're listening to Jonesy's Jukebox with Billy Idol, KLOS. Let's play a bit of who we grew up with. This was my stuff growing up when I was 15, 16. David Bowie, Gene Genie.
The priest of unpredictable, the Lord of La Cienega. Steve Jones presents Jonesy's Jukebox.
You're listening to Jonesy's Jukebox on KLOS with my guest Billy Idol. That was Queen, a track called Sheer Heart Attack. And before that was The Damned, a track called Born to Kill. Was you a fan of The Damned, Billy?
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, I enjoyed watching all those groups. You know, watching you,
yeah.
Sex Pistols, and The Clash, and The Damned. It's really exciting. Buzzcocks.
You obviously talked about all that in your book.
Yeah.
You know. What was the first time... What was the first punk thing you saw?
Oh, it'd be the MC5 in 1969, 70.
Yeah.
I was really lucky. I saw them at a funny little festival outside of Worthing, MC5.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a kind of a hippie festival, and they just came on, like, and just, you know...
Kick out the jams.
Just, yeah, it was Kick Out the Jams.
Yeah, so-and-so.
Mofo.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was amazing. It's kind of really... That's what... That fired me up in 1970, you know, if you know what I mean. And seeing that was pretty incredible.
That Queen track... Obviously,
yeah, I could cover that.
Yeah,
I could do that.
Sounds like Gen X.
Yeah,
like the Judas Priest did. Sound like Gen X.
Yeah, and she got the 16ths.
The old well, there's a story behind that Queen one, because we were actually recording Nevermind the Bollocks at the time in Wessex Studio, which I know you've recorded.
Yeah, we did Valley of the Dolls there. Yeah,
in Islington, and when we were in there, Queen was in there. I remember we walked in the studio once, and Freddie was doing some backing vocals. We didn't know. We just walked into the room where he was singing, and he got all upset. But then, after we kind of finished Nevermind the Bollocks, I guess they were doing that album. What album's that? Oh, is it Sheer Heart Attack? I think that's the album, or the something.
Yeah, it was an album.
Or something for the world. Anyway, the point is they were in at the same time, and that sounds very Pistol-esque, I thought.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, it's quite far away from Killer Queen and stuff.
So I don't know if they were making fun or they're trying to get on the bandwagon a little bit.
It's not bad. I like that.
It's great.
I could do it. I could cover it.
And I think that's the drummer singing.
Ah, right.
Because he does sing a few tracks.
Yeah, he
tracks.
Does. He wrote songs, too.
I like that
what
one
if he wrote
song.
It?
Maybe. Remember the one song, if you was a fan of Queen, I'm in love with my car? Remember that one?
Yeah.
That was a good one. That was him singing. Anyway, that's my story. So
it was funny. One day I ran into Freddie Mercury, and I wanted just to say something nice, really. And I said to him, you know, I really, you know, Flash Gordon had just came out. So I really love that Flash Gordon. And I sort of turned to walk out of the room, and as I walked out of the room, he said, "I didn't write that." And I couldn't help it. I turned around and said, "I know." I couldn't.
Like a movie.
I just couldn't help it. It was so... Because I was just trying to be...
And he was not being
when
nice?
He went, "I didn't write that." Kind of went like that. I didn't write that. And I went, "I know."
So
I said it on purpose. Yeah. It was just a joke, really. Couldn't help it because he's being so... I mean, anybody else would have just said, "Okay, great."
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because he sang
whatever,
on it. It's his.
It's
Flash. Ah! I just never thought that it's the guitarist writing. I didn't care. It's more like I'm just saying, I like that, you know. And I didn't write that.
He got the. Was he a nice guy?
He seemed like a nice bloke. Yeah, I just couldn't help the practical joke. It was just funny, you know.
I guess he...
they were great, I thought. They were really great. We met Brian May once, and he kept thinking we were in The Clash, me and Tony James. He kept saying, "Now, you did that White Riot." And we were going, "No, we're Generation X." And he was going, "No, but you know you do that White Riot, don't you?" No, we're Generation X.
Different band, yeah. That's kind of, I guess, what you had to put up with back then. Because it was not like a thing that people really took seriously, especially guys... from them kind of band.
We would all seem the same as well to them, sort of.
Yeah, we're just like, "Oh, spiky hair guys." Yeah. Oh, they're a punk band, yeah.
It must be the Clash.
Yeah. Oh, well.
But he's a great guitarist and...
Fantastic.
Fantastic. And he's a great singer, and that's Sheer Heart Attack. Well, that's obviously the drummer, but you know what I mean? They're a fantastic band.
Yeah, Freddie probably didn't want nothing to do with it. He didn't write that one either.
You know, there you go. It's a bit precious.
That's a great album, the first Queen album. It's the one with a purple cover. I remember buying that when I was 16 and thinking it was one of the best things I ever heard. He used to work in Kensington Market, Freddie Mercury.
Oh, yeah.
For a bit. Yeah, I remember seeing him in there once when I was in there fevering some platform boots. He was working in one of the places. Because he's very... his face... You wouldn't recognise him in a lineup any day of the week, you know what I mean?
That's right.
What are we doing, Shovel?
Dancing with Myself.
Oh, we're gonna play a Billy Idol... Is this Gen X? It's kind of on the verge, wasn't it?
No, this is... Yeah, it's Gen X, really. Yeah, you're on it. And Danny Cousteau, Steve New. There's a million guitarists on it.
We did this... Well, you did it, and I did some overdubs at Air Studios.
At Air Studio, yeah.
Oxford Street, where I had a seizure.
That's right.
Doing this. It was weird. One minute I was listening back, next thing I'm on Oxford Street on a stretcher with these old ladies looking at me.
Yeah, I'd just gone to the toilet, and when I came back, you were being taken out on a St. John's ambulance stretcher, and you as you're quite really calm and you start. Sorry about that. What the hell happened?
Did I show up at the club? I can't remember. Probably. Time to lose.
Yeah, exactly.
So here we go. This is you're listening to Jonesy's Jukebox with my guest Billy Idol on KLOS. This is Dancing With Myself. You are listening to Jonesy's Jukebox on KLOS with my guest Billy Idol. That was Britney Fox, a track called Girl School. Do you remember that, Bill?
I do remember that, yeah.
Like in the 80s.
Yeah, early.
Motorcycles, no helmets.
No helmets, yeah.
No AIDS.
No AIDS.
It was free for all.
No rubbers.
No Johnnies. And, I remember that was like the big age on MTV with the videos that you'd spend like $300,000 on a video shoot and stuff. But I like that riff. It's got kind of an AC/DC vibe.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Most definitely.
Even the singing's got a little bit of old, not Bon Scott. Who's the other bloke?
Yeah.
Johnson. That bloke. Yeah, that bloke. Yeah. Before that was Black Sabbath, a track called Supernaut. And before that, we had Billy Idol, Dancing With Myself, where I was hanging out of a window with my pants down.
Yeah, of course, across the whole of Oxford Circus looking up at you playing air guitar. And when we said, what are you doing, Steve? You said, I'm dancing with myself. So.
Brilliant. Thank you for that. Because I don't remember. you're doing some benefit this
November the 3rd, actually, with... Well, there's Bill Burr, a comedian, but there's all the Hellcat Saints, which is me, Billy Idol, with Steve Stevens, Billy Morrison, Dave Navarro, Juliet Lewis, Duff McKagan, Gilby Clark, Dave Kushner, Mark McGrath, Joss Fries, and Kesha. So there's quite a lot of people.
What's it for?
It's Rhonda's Kiss. It's a cancer charity.
Oh, okay.
Well, my dad died of cancer last year, so...
Yeah.
So it's good to fight one. I don't mind fighting it.
Yeah. It seems like a very, a lot more people seem to get it a lot more these days, and maybe because there's more people.
Probably, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know the reason. I hope I don't get it.
Yeah, no way.
Oh, man. What have I had lately? I had pneumonia about a month ago. A little bit. But it's gone now. This is dismal, isn't it? We should change the subject.
It's November 3rd at the El Rey.
That's right, November the 3rd at the El Rey. That's right, Rhonda's Kiss.
Okay, cool. What else was you going to talk about? We're moving around. You had a motorbike accident, didn't you? You're talking about motorbikes.
Yeah, about 25 years ago now, thank God. It's a long time ago.
Did you have a helmet on?
No, of course not, because it was... Yeah.
That's what you did back then.
There was no helmet law, so you didn't have to.
Yeah. If they got rid of the... You still ride. You rode here, right?
Yeah.
If they got rid of the helmet law, would you not wear a helmet, or would you still wear one?
Well, actually, it's funny. I ride with this friend of mine, Steve McGrath, and we were riding across the Navajo Reservation, and, it was the helmet law, so Navajo Reservation, there's no helmet law.
Oh, right.
So we actually took our helmets off for about half an hour, and after about half an hour, I pulled up next to him going, the sun's killing me, I've got to put my helmet back on. So I got a feeling, even if there was no helmet law, I'd probably be wearing one these days, just because we ride so much as well. I think we ride so much, it would just take one slip and you'd have brain damage. That's pretty scary. So I think nowadays I'd wear one, you know.
Did it scare you, your accident? What happened? Was it your fault or did someone smash
into you? Oh, yeah, it was my fault. I was messed up and I shouldn't have been on my motorcycle. It was really early in the morning and...
You'd been up all night partying?
Yeah, we'd actually just finished Charm Life, the album, so... instead of staying for the party after the... Because we partied the whole way through the album, really. I came home and I couldn't sleep. And then I was going to go back to the studio. And then I had a bit of an accident on the way down there, you know.
So the Charm Life actually backfired that night?
A tiny bit, yeah. Although I pulled through, so I did have somebody looking after me. So.
Yeah, you look good, buddy.
Cheers, mate.
You look good. I was 60... in September.
On November the 30th, I'm going to be joining you.
You're going to be 62?
Yeah.
Don't tell anyone, though.
No. Oops, we just did.
It sounds ancient, doesn't it? 60.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. But we don't look like, you know, Uncle Joe Blog 60. We look kind of good for 60.
Not too bad, yeah.
You know what I mean? We got to go and visit the Duke. You're listening to the Jonesy's Jukebox with my guest, Billy Idol, on KLOS.
Receive entire rebate. 20 cents per excess mile. No security deposit. See Galpin for full details. Sale ends October 31st, 2015.
Contact your local...
Jonesy's Jukebox is back.
On the Rock of Southern California, 95.5 KLOS.
You're listening to Jonesy's Jukebox with my guest, Billy Idol, and this is KLOS. When you, didn't you do a, I think I saw you on the TV, like a Geico commercial?
Was it Geico? It was actually Bank of America.
Oh, Bank of America.
Yeah, I did it. It was with Christopher Guest, he directed it.
Did he?
Yeah, so it's his kind of humor, that kind of, you know, like those best of show and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's very much making fun of Bank of America as much as anything else. So it's actually a lot of fun doing it because it's fantastic working with him. I really did it because I was going to work with him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Christopher Guest. So.
Now, did he call you? How did you get that?
Yeah, he must have thought up what he wanted to do, and then he must have thought I'd be right for it or something, yeah.
I mean, it's good for the old branding. I guess that's the word these days, to have a big commercial like that. Was that the Nationwide one?
Yeah, it was, I think, yes.
And they're still playing it?
I think so, yeah.
There's a couple of different versions,
there's,
I think.
Yes, there's about four of them, actually. One of them I'm not in, and then it builds up to me being in it. So
it was all, the all four was based around you?
Yeah. Yeah, about whether or not I'm doing this commercial and and how hokey it is. And it's really about how dumb the people who have to, you know, go through those ideas,
right,
the rubbish they go through to come up with an advert idea, the kind of the crap they have to go through to.
So did they get the joke then, Bank of America, or they still didn't get it? If
no,
they, think,
no, they
like,
wanted it. That's, they wanted it. That. Yeah, they were trying to make fun of themselves, really. Yeah. So it was great.
I wish I could do some of them commercials. I like stuff like that, infomercials and nonsense.
It's good fun doing the funny stuff. Like, it's great working with Christopher Guest, and I got to work with Adam Sandler, you know, and The Wedding Singer, and then when I did Saturday Night Live, I worked with Don Rickles. So I've worked with some incredible comedy, and then Sam Kinison, I was friendly with him, and I worked with him too. So I've kind of worked with a lot of great comedians. It's fantastic.
Do you like acting?
I especially like the humorous stuff. That's really good fun.
Are you good at, like, remembering lines?
Well, I've never had to remember a ton of lines, really.
Yeah.
I don't know. I might be all right. It depends. You know, it's that same thing. You know, if I really liked what it was about, I might find it easy. If I didn't like it, I'd probably find it difficult.
Yeah. I find, because I've done a few things. I was in California Cation. I did two seasons. Which was incredible.
Portlandia as well, weren't you?
Well, I did one on there, yeah. Fred said he might come on the show next week, Fred Armiston. Hopefully he's going to do that.
Magic, yeah.
It'd be good. I've hung out with him. I've done a bunch of stuff with Fred. He's got that character, Ian Rubbish.
Yeah.
I've played with him a bunch of shows. He's funny. That guy's like the hardest working guy in show business.
Wow.
He's always doing something.
Wow.
Yeah, I think he's addicted to working. But whatever.
I like the Ian Rubbish thing. That's fantastic. It's great he got you to play with him and do it. It's
on Saturday Night Live and stuff.
Yeah.
Really good stuff.
You said there's a bit of Kiss Me Deadly he puts in.
Did he?
There's one bit where he puts a touch of, it's a joke version of it. He says he puts a touch of something that's like Kiss Me Deadly because he's making fun of all the punk things ever happens.
Right. You should sue him. I hear there's a lawyer next door. You should get him on the case. What are we doing? We're going to, do you do Instagram and all that?
Yeah.
You do Twitter?
Yeah, a lot of things I put on Whosay, but I do have an Instagram. There's a Billy Idol Instagram as well. Yeah.
What's it called if you want to get some followers?
It's
just Billy Idol?
Idol HQ or something like that, Billy Idol HQ or something it's called.
So you don't actually fiddle around with it yourself?
I do sometimes, but I mainly do things on Whosay is what I post mainly.
Oh, what's that? I'm not hip to that one.
I don't know. It copyrights your pictures.
Oh.
So no one can use your pictures without asking you for some reason.
You can't hide anything these days, though.
You can't. No.
You really can't. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm Jones's Jukebox on Instagram, Twitter, and I think I'm on Facebook, Steve Jones, but that ain't really a, it's just I don't even really use it. Anything I put on Instagram, I send it out to Facebook. And
I've been noticing your amusing posts just lately on Instagram. Were you wearing the glitter boots and everything?
Yeah, no, I'm into it. I'm into it, man. I love it because I'm sitting at home by myself. I do my makeup. I do the wardrobe. I film it all on my iPhone, and I have a blast. I love it. It's Jonesy's Jukebox on Instagram. Check it out. I'm not blocked or anything. You can watch anything. Watch me look like a jackass on there. It's great. And you're on Twitter as Billy Idol, though, right?
Yeah, at Billy Idol, yes.
Yeah. Someone told me you should have all the things under the same name so it's easy for people to remember.
Well, yeah, you can.
But you have a guy, Bill. You have a guy, Bill, is it, who does all your social media?
This is a chap I work with, Jim Bellotta.
Jim.
But I do my own Twitter. He sometimes does the Instagram and stuff, but...
Do you read some of your comments?
Yeah.
Do you get negative ones?
Occasionally.
It's the worst. People have no lives. What are they doing? But I guess you got to, like, just... I don't respond to negative stuff.
No, I just leave it.
I just delete them.
Or just leave it. Yeah, just.
Or just leave it.
Just don't, you know. Not everybody's going to like you, so.
Nobody. I mean, not even who's the most popular guy in the world, there's going to be some people who are going to put
hate
some horrible comments. I guess it's just
something nasty, yeah.
It's just the nature. You're listening to Jonesy's Jukebox with my guest Billy Idol, and this is KLOS, and we're going to play a bit of one of my favourite bands from back in the day, Alex Harvey and the sensational Alex Harvey Band. This song is called Midnight Moses. Okay. You've been listening to Jonesy's Jukebox on KLOS with my buddy, guest, Billy Idol. That was Mick Ronson, Angel Number 9 from an album called Play Don't Worry. And before that was Alex Harvey, Midnight Moses. And, yeah, he was a... We were talking about all the lunatics who were in bands who were Scottish. Yeah. That they were all mean and bad drunks. Yeah. There was like about five of them in different bands back in the day. Yeah. And they were always the same. It was all, and didn't end up good at the end of the night. There was always someone getting their face cut or something.
Yeah.
It was a pleasure having you in, mate. I appreciate you showing up.
Cheers, mate. Fantastic.
And you're going back on the road in November? No, well, your birthday's in November.
Yeah, but that's right. I'm 60 in November.
Your 40th is in November.
Yeah. Well, we'll be back out in March. We're going to be playing next year.
Yeah. All right, mate. Well, thank you for showing up. I think that was a good first show. I'll be back next Friday at 12 bells to 2. And I think that's it. Have I missed anything? I know what I want. It's very important that Saturday night you put your clock forward. Or is it backwards? I always put a thing on Instagram telling people that. I'm like your uncle. I want people to know that, you know, don't want you to miss an hour.
Yeah.
It's this weekend, though, and it's Halloween tomorrow. I don't know what you're going to wear, but I'm probably going to wear platform boots. So see you next week. Thank you.